Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is former sports writer and radio personality Bob Lutz. Welcome to Issues 2025.
Always a pleasure. You are the gift that just keeps on giving to Wichita Radio.
I guess that's one way to look at it. You know, you're going to be inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame, Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, this summer. What are your feelings about that?
I'm a little bit taken aback. I'm a big Hall of Fame guy, and I'm especially a big Kansas Sports Hall of Fame guy because I've lived here my entire life. So many of those athletes and people and contributors and coaches are people I know, people I've covered, people I've written about or interviewed on the radio. So it's a real honor. And, you know, I'm not speechless very often, but that one means a lot to me.
You know, it's funny because I talk to people who get into a Hall of Fame like this or something, and it's a lot of them say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, they're not really being honest, are they?
Well, you know.
I think it's a great deal.
Anytime somebody wants to recognize you for your body of work over your lifetime, to me that's a big deal because it's other people making the choice to recognize what you've done. Anybody who would blow that off and say, well, I mean, modesty is one thing, and I'm a big believer in modesty But I'm honored. I'm honored to be going in.
It's an honest answer. Have there been times when you felt unappreciated as a journalist or a radio personality over all these years?
I think you'll agree with this. You don't necessarily do these things in the media seeking appreciation. You do them seeking. You want to be influential. You want to have a voice. You want to be heard. So, I don't think I've ever felt that way. But, I'm not doing the print anymore. I'm not doing the radio right now. So I don't have that presence in the Wichita media, which I'd had really since the early 1970s. So it's kind of a strange feeling, but it's also good because I keep myself pretty busy.
Let's do a quick background check for those listeners who may not be familiar with you. Where did you grow up and go to school, Bob?
I grew up, I was born in Winfield, but I moved to Derby when I was two, and that's where I grew up and went to school and graduated from high school and have great fond memories of my time in Derby and worked at the Derby Daily Reporter when I was a junior and senior in high school. And then I got a job at the Wichita Eagle in 1974. And I got a full-time job at the Eagle in 1975. And I worked there until 2017. So I've had a long run in journalism.
It is a long run. Were you an athlete when you were growing up?
Great athlete, as you were. I know from talking to you, you were one of the best athletes to ever come out of West High School.
That's my story.
Yes. So anytime you would ask me or you what kind of an athlete we were, just tremendous athletes.
That's
just
where you were underappreciated, right there.
Absolutely. Okay. I should be in the Hall of Fame as an athlete. It's remarkable that I'm not.
Now, when you were growing up, who were your favorite sports stars?
I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Since I was 7 or 8 years old. My all-time favorite athlete is Bob Gibson, followed very closely by Dave Stallworth. Those are the two. Then there's a drop-off. But Bob Gibson and Dave Stallworth had a tremendous influence on me as a kid. So Gibson's my all-time top athlete, and became a pitcher and did not throw quite as well as Gibson, believe it or not, yeah. But he was my inspiration.
Did you ever get a chance to interview Bob Gibson?
I did.
How was he? Was he a pretty good interviewer?
He came here for a card show, and if you know Bob Gibson, you know he was intimidating on the mound.
Yeah.
And kind of intimidating to talk to through all the stories. Like, he was not one who suffered foolishness very easily. So he was here for a card show out by McConnell Air Base. They used to have that card show every year. He came one year, and I went out there to interview him, and I said, "Mr. Gibson, can I speak with you?" And he turned to me and said, "I'm busy signing cards right now." Kind of in that, and I'm, oh, boy.
Kind of brusque.
And he said, "I'll get with you after I'm done." And he did, and he was as cordial and polite and good-natured as he could be. So I'm glad it went that way, because my fear was, oh, boy. This may not go well, but we probably spent 15, 20 minutes talking, and it was really good.
Now, Stallworth, yeah, I know you got a chance to talk to Dave.
He became a friend.
So, really?
Yeah.
He's one of mine growing up. He was right up there, man.
Which was really an interesting feeling, because here's this guy you watch play as a young boy.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9 years old. You're watching him play with your father in a smoke-filled arena out at the Roundhouse. And then your life goes on, and Dave comes back to town, and he works with Boeing, and you get this job at the paper, and you cross paths, and you interview him, and then you've gotten to the point where you've talked to him so often that you kind of develop a relationship, a little bit of a friendship. It's not like we were close, but I would consider Dave Stallworth to have been a friend, and I was certainly very sad when he died in 2017.
Who's one of mine too? Is not one of if the biggest thing when I was a kid, and I actually late in his career, I did finally get a chance to meet him, and got a little autograph and so forth, and I treasure it.
Oh yeah,
he was something else. What a basketball player!
He loved to talk about basketball. You know, he loved the game. He knew the game. He was intelligent about the game. And I wish he hadn't developed his heart ailment when he was in the NBA.
Yeah, he was in the NBA.
Yeah. Because I think he would have been a tremendous pro. And he was a good pro for a while. He helped the Knicks win a championship.
Yeah.
Number 9. And he also was a teammate there with Nate Bowman. His teammate with the Shockers. So, yeah, lots of good memories about that.
Tell me about your career as a sports writer, and very quickly, but did you have mentors?
I grew up reading the Wichita Eagle.
Okay.
So I read guys like John Swaggerty and Bill Hodge and Max Seibel and those guys who came before me, and I was a big sports fan as a kid, as a young kid. I mean, I read the paper every day.
Yeah, you did box score from St. Louis.
Yeah, I love the box scores.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I read
the box. You can tell a lot about what happened in
Absolutely.
The game.
Yeah. You know, I read the box scores religiously. But I also read the columns and the game stories and because I was interested. It meant a lot to me. So I grew up reading the newspaper, and then I spent my adult years writing for the newspaper. It was kind of a natural progression.
And then a few years ago, you went on the radio. How'd that come about?
That was actually in the late 90s. I got my first opportunity with Steve Dennis.
Okay.
And then Bruce Hurdle and I had a show for about almost 14 years. And then my son Jeff and I had a show here on Odyssey on KFH for a little more than 9 years. We just stopped doing that in February. So, yeah, I enjoyed the radio. I enjoyed our personalities coming through. I really enjoyed doing radio with Jeff, my son, because
question was, what was that like?
We battled. We have similar personalities. We're hard-headed, and we think our opinions are right. And so that led to, as you can imagine.
Did you ever say, Jeff, you're grounded on the air?
It didn't quite get to that point, but it probably should have, yeah.
Hey, share some thoughts, if you will, on the state of journalism today.
I worry about it.
You've been at it for half a century.
So I worry about it. I don't like what I see. I think journalism's an important tenet of American democracy, and without it being done at a high level, we could be in trouble really quickly. We have to have a watchdog overseeing our government, and that's what journalism is. That's freedom of the press. That's what it's all about. And there is truth out there. There is a truth, right? We can't get muddled here that like we have become, that there is no more truth. Social media has led us down a path to where so many people believe that conspiracy theories have more foundation than truth. And journalism used to take care of that. We used to trust journalism. We've, in many cases, lost our trust for journalism. You've been in this field a long time as a journalist. I'm sure you see what I'm saying.
You know, and there's so many critics in politics now of journalism, however it's done. And I wonder, have you ever been assigned to go and cover a story and try to find out what's really there? Because you're exactly right. And when I was at KFH, they called it the art of radio. Well, journalism is part of that art. Yeah, it's hard to find what's true right now sometimes.
It is, but there is a truth.
Yeah.
And
if you don't agree with it, but what if you don't agree with that truth?
Yeah, that's your right as a citizen.
Get your own set of facts.
But as a journalist, your job is to uncover the truth without bias, right?
Right.
Without bias. That means you're not to the right, you're not to the left, you're down the middle as a journalist, and that's what journalism is. And it shouldn't be that hard. That doesn't mean journalists don't have political opinions.
Oh, deep opinions. Some of them very deep, yeah.
Right. But to think that they can't put those aside to do their job, that's what's scary.
Yeah. You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is former sports writer and radio personality Bob Lutz. You know, I have a quick question about social media, and I've seen you do some Facebook where you came out with an opinion, and, you know, it's an opinion labeled here. But, you know, the thing about that is, being a journalist, you can give an opinion, but you got to base it on some sort of fact, mm-hmm. on something, you know. And sometimes
I don't view my Facebook page as being a reflection of me as a journalist.
That's just you.
It's okay. Me as I spent 21 years at the Eagle as an opinion columnist, a sports columnist.
That's right. Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean I just flew off the handle with just crazy opinions. That means that my opinions, I tried to base them on some reality and some factual information. I was still reporting, but my opinion was based on that reporting. I still feel that way when I put up a Facebook post. Rarely. I don't get into the political realm too often. Occasionally it boils over, and I do. But I like to feel like even when I do that, it's based on some level of factual information.
Yeah, yeah. So let's change up a little bit here and ask you how things are going with League 42.
Yeah, that's been my passion now since 2013 when we started League 42. It was an effort to serve kids who have been underserved in our community when it comes to offering them an affordable way to play baseball. We've done that. We now have more than 600 kids annually who play baseball on League 42. Our season is in its third week of about 11 weeks. So we're up and going at McAdams Park. We only charge $30 to play in our league. That's per child or family of siblings. We provide uniforms and equipment. We've made this league extremely affordable and extremely popular in Wichita. And it's been really, really rewarding. Now we've grown to the point where we have education programs, including Bright Lights, which is our after-school education enrichment program that we do Monday through Thursday at our building, the Leslie Rudd Learning Center on 17th Street. It's been a transformational for us. We have other education programs as well. So, yeah, League 42 has really taken off.
So 42 is the number of Jackie Robinson's
right,
number.
Right.
What was the inspiration? Just,
you know, Jackie we had an early meeting and we couldn't come up with a good name, and I hadn't been able to come up with it.
But you just wanted to do this.
Somebody said name it after Jackie Robinson, and somebody else in the crowd said, how about naming it League 42? And
beautiful.
It was like an epiphany.
Yeah.
So much of this has been serendipitous. It's like there's a higher power watching over us. And whenever we reach a point where we have something that needs to happen for the good, it seems to always happen, knock on wood. And that was certainly a case of that. So League 42 is a perfect name for us. But we take it very seriously, because if you name your league after an icon like Jackie Robinson, who represented so much good, you can't be superfluous with that. You've got to really dig in and represent his ideals.
Idea for that, then it came along. I'm just thinking out loud for a second. My next question was about the people you have working with you or for you. Do you have a staff of people then?
Yeah, we started very slowly. You know, you got to walk before you can. You got to crawl before you can walk.
You out there with a rake and a shovel.
That's literally the case.
How did you get McAdams?
We approached the director of the rec center at the time, Larry Dennis, who's now on our board, and we asked Larry, "Would it be possible to put our league here?" And it was a terrible facilities. They had two fields that hadn't been used very much, rusted out backstops. But we wanted to be at McAdams because we wanted to go to the people and not have the people have to come to us. So it's the perfect home. The city helped us with some facilities very early on, and we've been improving the facilities at McAdams pretty much yearly ever since we started. We've got a fourth field now at McAdams Park. We added a third field back in 2016. We've added the Leslie Rudd Learning Center just across the street. We put in the Jackie Robinson Pavilion with the statue. Everybody knows that story about the statue theft and replacement. We've been through a lot, but we've come out of it well, and we're doing very well.
So how many people actually work for you then?
Well, there's no full-time people. I have an administrative assistant, and then we have an education director, and then we have some paid interns from the Rudd Scholars Organization.
Good.
At Wichita State. We have some people who help us with the baseball side of it. We have about 12 paid positions in our league.
What do you do for umpires, officials, and
hire a group to handle that for us.
Okay.
So we pay for the umpires, we pay for the uniforms. We have an annual budget of around $450,000, and we go out and raise that money. We had a Kids First capital campaign from 2022 to 2024 that raised in the neighborhood of $5 million. and we were able to build our education center, which has an indoor baseball training area, about an 8,000 square foot area. We've done a lot. We've done a whole lot. It's a much different organization than it was when we started, obviously. We've grown.
You know, I was going to ask a question about you. Have you had any really hot young athletes come out of there playing baseball? But I don't think that's the point. The point is to get these kids on the right track and give them some guidance.
The point is to get them to have fun as young people.
It's not like some people take their kids and run them all over the country going to these tournaments with the dream the kid's going to be a big leaguer.
And we've had a few kids leave League 42 to pursue that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's a parent's choice and a kid's choice. The goal of our league is for kids to just have fun playing baseball, to be a part of a team, to be under the wing of some coaches who care about them and they're going to have their best interests at heart, and to know that League 42 is there for them, and we're going to offer them not only the baseball opportunities, but the education opportunities. We basically are doing things year-round for kids. So,
I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I find very interesting. It's called Name, Image, and Likeness, NIL. I'll bet you have some opinions about that.
I'll tell you what, Mac. It's hit us so hard that I was just, before I came in, I was looking at the new Shocker basketball roster for next year. It's almost completely new. I don't know who any of these people are. It's just a hodgepodge of players from different programs, a few freshmen that will probably never see the light of day. Freshmen don't play anymore. They have to bide their time, and I don't know. NIL and transfer portal has really taken away from college sports for me personally. It's professional sports on a lower level. And if I'm going to be involved in professional sports, then I'm going to watch the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL. Those are professional sports. The college sports is now professional sports without any structure. It's just a Wild West. These players come and go on a whim. Coaches, yeah, I get it. They come and go too. Mm-hmm. But they are at least contractually bound, and there's usually a penalty when they break their contract that somebody has to pay. Not them, almost always. But, yeah, it's crazy. I've lost some interest.
It seems like if somebody who made these decisions based entirely on money had never followed a team, had never loved to see what Dave Stallworth did for 4 years here. And never they missed a point. The entire point is sports.
Well, there's always been a debate on should athletes get paid.
Well, sure.
I mean, there's always been that debate. Should we
compensate some way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, we've devalued the education now. I mean, we see players go to three or four colleges.
Yeah.
How can they get an education if they're going to three or four different colleges? I don't know. I'm too old for this, man.
All right. Did you have any role models when you were growing up, personal role models?
Well, my dad. My dad worked really hard, had always had at least two jobs, and then he always dabbled in selling something, pens or shoes. It's amazing that people from that era. My dad was born in 1911.
Really?
So he came up through the Depression. And it's just amazing. People from that era, how hard they were willing to work to avoid being dirt poor. And he really worked hard, and he provided for the family. And then in his time when he had some free time, he devoted that toward taking me to games and really inspiring my interest in sports and I'd say my dad. The regular stuff. I was really inspired by athletes. That was my deal.
We're out of time. Sorry.
That's okay.
Hey, good luck to you. It's always fun.
Always a pleasure, Mac.
Yes, sir. That's all for this edition of Issues 2025. Radio personality, former radio personality, Bob Lutz, our guest. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.